grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, the 19th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, Jerusalem is the seat of all power in the land of Canaan. Herod resides there. Pilate has his quarters there. The Sanhedrin, the ruling Jewish leaders, gather there. The temple with her priests are right there in her midst. Whoever controls Jerusalem controls all of Canaan. Whoever controls Canaan controls all of the trade routes. For as with all things where there is money to be had, there is power to be exercised. Power and money govern Jerusalem, her temple, and her people. And power and money require more power and money to maintain themselves. There's always someone vying for more of each. Herod, Pilate, the Sanhedrin, the Herodians, the scribes, priests, zealots, and the pilgrims all struggle against each other, looking for an advantage against the others, each plotting, planning, maneuvering, and manipulating. Wherever there is power, there is conflict and struggle. And wherever there is conflict and struggle, there is fear and anxiety. There's little difference between the world then and our world today. Everything is all about power and money. And who among us can say they are without fear and anxiety about the days ahead? Nations are plotting their next move in the Middle East. Terrorists who threaten to down a single flight have effectually threatened every flight. Foreigners are gathering at the gates of our nation, crossing our borders, settling in our communities. Who of them can be trusted? Who can see the big picture in all of this? Who knows what will happen? Old Adam always assumes the worst. Whatever is coming won't be good. So who can truly say, "I am not afraid, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea"? Who can say they're strong enough to withstand the flaming arrows of our adversaries? Who can be brave in the face of uncertainty or depression or cancer or death? Our text this morning is all about Jesus coming to Jerusalem. He approaches the seat of power in the land of Canaan. God's plan of salvation moves quickly towards completion. Jesus advances to finish it once and for all. The crowds of disciples gather round about in much the same way as we do this morning, singing the praises of the one who walked on water, who stilled the storm and fed the hungry, who healed the sick and loosed those bound in sin and death. Yes, they gather to welcome Jesus, their King. They gather with false expectations. They line the streets to welcome their King, but they're hoping for a very different kind of King than Jesus came to be. What sort of King do you gather before this morning? Are you here because you hope for more power? Money? Security or health? Though much of our fear and anxiety are the result of what's happening all around us, apart from us, our old Adam isn't without his self-doubts. We know our hearts better than we're willing to confess. And we may put on a brave face, but inside we're full of doubt. We know our bodies. We feel the frailty of our flesh. We're not as strong as we'd like to be. We're always wondering, when? When will we get sick again? We're always fearing the test results. We're always anxious about what the MRI will show. When we're afraid, we hope for more strength. Hoping for more strength is really just hoping for more power. Old Adam always hopes for more power. We hope for a more powerful antibiotic. a more powerful vaccine, a more powerful antiseptic, a more powerful treatment, a more powerful food, a more powerful diet, a more powerful program that will help us overcome all of our weaknesses. The same is true when we think on our sin. All our weakness has its root in our sin. And so to overcome our sin, we plot and we plan and we strategize and we resolve and we seek after new methods and alternative disciplines. We follow the ones who teach us about becoming a more powerful you. All of the self-help books are really geared towards appeasing old Adam's quest for power. And we apply the same to our spirituality. We want Jesus to ride into our lives and to fight, to exercise power, to be our wingman. We want Jesus to fight with us, not so much for us. Old Adam refuses to be passive. There's no power in passivity. Power is exercised. Power is executed. Power is the aggressive use of force. So we call on God to use his power to force our adversaries into submission. That was the view of many Jews that fateful Sunday. They hoped Jesus would ride into Jerusalem in all of his power and might as the Messiah and force the Romans out and so usher in a new era of Jewish glory and power. In reality, beloved, they wanted Jesus to be more like Muhammad, acting on behalf of Allah, than the son of Mary, fulfilling his father's will. Beloved in the Lord, Jesus is nothing, nothing like Muhammad. His Father's will has nothing absolutely at all in common with the will of Allah. Christianity is nothing like Islam. Jesus does not enter Jerusalem, the seat of all power in the land of Canaan, in order to forcibly submit her inhabitants, nor does he do that even. Jesus approaches Jerusalem not on a stallion, not with armies in tow, not with swords or spears to chance a victory or death to the enemy. Absolutely not. He approaches in humility. He rides on a donkey, a colt upon which no one has ever sat. Nothing like this has ever happened. He is alone in his purpose and alone in his mission. No one can do, no one has ever done what Jesus does in Jerusalem that week. And unlike those who came before him, unlike all who came after him, and unlike all who come to us even today, Jesus does not come to exercise power. He comes to surrender. He does not come to be strong. He approaches in weakness. He doesn't come to strike and to kill, but to be struck by those whom he loves. His advent is not one of war, but of peace. He draws near not to plunder, but to redeem with holy blood. He rides into death. The Lamb seated upon a colt comes to take away the power of sin, the strength of the law, and the grave's lean against every single one of us. He comes to finish it once and for all by dying on the cross and rising on the third day. Such is the Messiah's labors for you. God is our refuge and strength, says the psalmist, and ever-present help in trouble. It's not power that wins the day for you, but weakness. For the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. It's not wisdom that thwarts the plans of the enemy, but the folly of God's Son shedding his blood for humanity once and for all. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. For God's power is manifested in the coming of his Son. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. The coming of his Son is revealed to the world in weakness. He is the firstborn of a virgin, laid in a manger and adored by shepherds. He enters Jerusalem on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey upon which no one has ever yet sat, welcomed by pilgrims. And in his death, he is laid in an unused tomb, borrowed from a friend, borrowed for 3 days,
making all of our tombs temporary. To this day, his advent is no different. Jesus is for us the coming one. The manifestation of his advent to us is no different now than it was then. He still comes to us in humility. Though we would desire power and strength, he approaches us in water and word. Though we would be inspired to work out our own salvation and have Jesus as our co-pilot, he defeats sin in us through the folly of the cross proclaimed by the voice of his sent ones. And though we would have him shield us at all costs from death's portal, he shows himself to be our good shepherd, walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death, nourishing us along the way with a bit of fleshly bread and bloody wine, loosing us forever from the pangs of death. Through these, he fights for us and in us, not so much with power as we understand power, but with love. Heavenly love, love that forgives our sins and steals away all the threats of the grave. Therefore, we Christians are given to hope in these means of grace. For through these, Jesus, the ever-coming one, is present to act on our behalf and to draw near to us and to draw us near to him. No guns at our heads. No scimitars on our necks. No laws compelling us to submit. For his is not a kingdom of power as the world understands power. But his is a kingdom of mercy. Mercy is revealed to us by our crucified and risen Savior. His is a kingdom, not one that is seen in the exercise of aggressive force, nor is it beheld as a company of soldiers wielding swords and spears on their way to plunder. No, beloved, his is a kingdom that is heard. Jesus has not come to force himself on the world, on us, or on our neighbors, but to woo us. To woo us with his word and sacraments, with gentleness, and humility, and mercy, and love. Beloved in the Lord, the world is all about the exercise of power, as the sons of men fight to advance their agendas. Chaos seems to rule our days as the future swells with uncertainty. And with uncertainty comes fear and anxiety. No man, woman, or child is exempt from old Adam's worldview, but take note, beloved, and rejoice. Our God has given us another image to behold, his Son. This morning, his Son approaches Jerusalem, and so also her temple. He comes to the seat of power in the land of Canaan, but that power is no more. For Jerusalem is undone by the death of her king. And a new Jerusalem arises with his resurrection. No longer is God's throne bound by geography, but all the earth is the Lord's. So wherever the word is preached in its purity and the sacraments are gifted as Jesus taught, there is the new Jerusalem. No longer is she the seat of power, rather the seat of divine mercy. Here is the new Jerusalem. Here is Christ's church and Christ's kingdom. Here is Jesus in all of his humility and meekness drawing near to you and me today. Here is the font of all mercy and love, the mercy and love that defeats sin, destroys the power of our adversaries, and promises the resurrection from the dead. For it's not with destructive power that God saves, but the power of God unto salvation is made manifest for you in the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, confident of his heart toward us, let us approach his seat of mercy with faith toward him. And let us depart with fervent love toward one another. Let us draw near the one who first drew near to us. Let us feast, and let us sing, and let us rejoice. For blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. There is peace. Peace in heaven. Peace in the New Jerusalem. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Glory in the highest.